is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We offer your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Woo! This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sudden flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Michael and Lisa?
Yeah.
I feel it. And by popular demand, I'm snorting oxygen tonight. I've done it the last two nights during the show, and apparently it makes for a better show, even better than codeine medically prescribed. So
it does, but I've noticed a large number of Chris Cantwell tweets, and I'm thinking about cutting you back on O2. I think
I'm done with that guy.
So if I see any more Chris Cantwell tweets, I'm gonna cut back my the CPAP machine tonight. So.
Okay. But I just use the oxygen concentrator, but I busted out a really good vintage bottle canister of oxygen tonight. It's City of Industry, California, December 2015 oxygen. It is. I hear that's excellent stuff, man. It's really good.
You could probably like buy it on the black market in China or Japan or something.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to trust life-sustaining chemicals to things that come from China. Because, you know, like, I don't know, they have like pet food with lead and, you know, toothpaste with lead. And yeah.
I'm suggesting that this like vintage air could be sold for perhaps in these like industrial centers of China.
Oh, like, I thought you went the other way around. Like we would breathe China's air. No,
I don't think so.
Yeah, China's a libertarian paradise, man. You can cut the air with a knife. No, it's not really a libertarian paradise, but people think that. People say that. Like without gov, I've actually heard like this week to me, you know, like Bernie Sanders supporters who've said, I don't believe in libertarianism. It's a fantasy. I like having clean water and clean air. And I'm like,
yeah, like
clean
Flint,
water,
Michigan.
Like Flint, Michigan, and clean air, like China. Yeah. If you want government intervention, move to China, man.
It is pretty funny when you think like I mean, just in this past like year. First, we had the Yellow River EPA mine disaster, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, this was like the biggest like environmental like disaster like I can think of in a sense. Maybe the New Horizons. This is a big environmental like disaster. I mean, we're talking about like millions and millions of people impacted far down the river. Completely destroying the ecosystem, lead poisoning, just ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, like some guys over in Oregon accidentally scorch a few acres during a back burn.
And someone
it's
ends
like,
up
terrorists,
murdered.
Terrorists.
Someone ends up murdered. Yeah.
And they have to gun down a freaking terrorist.
Yeah.
Flint, Michigan, it turns out they're just one of many municipalities regularly poisoning their victims / customers, right? Like, well, what were you expecting from your monopoly service provided by government bureaucrats? Like,
and if you don't pay your water bill some people have decided not to pay their bill for their poisonous water they can't drink, and the state is threatening to take their children because of that.
Well, isn't that standard like gang procedure to threaten the family, to coerce, right?
Yeah.
Like that's always how they get the hero to turn. You know, it's like
it is like every cheesy Hollywood movie about some guy who like used to be, you know, either an FBI assassin or a CIA assassin or a mafia enforcer or something, and he's out. He's played by Mark Wahlberg. He's out. He's selling insurance now. He's gone straight. He's got a wife and a kid, and then his little brother's like owes gambling money to the mob, so they steal. They steal Mark Wahlberg's kid and wife, and then like he just when he thought he was out, they suck him back in by taking his kid. That's the government, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's every bad movie ever made.
Well, it works. It works. I mean, because you could take a principled person, and somebody's like, you know what? Go ahead and shoot me, right? Like, but you threaten somebody's family in a whole other set. Like,
I don't like
I'd betray.
Kids.
I'd betray everybody, all you guys, to save my kids.
I know. You'd help the government like plant a kilo of coke in my like MWD hashtag rectum, you know.
Whatever it would take, you know. That's just because you're, you know. I think we're hardwired that way, but you know, no offense.
Yeah, you'd give Lisa polyps to protect your kids.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you do that.
So I thought you wanted to talk about.
I don't want
to
know.
I thought you wanted to talk about Keene, New Hampshire. I wanted to talk about Operation Epoxy the Homeless with radios, but we'll get to all of that and more. And you know, this is good fiends. This is like just winging it without show notes because we're all on oxygen. We're all like sucking on this big hookah of oxygen together. Okay, so Keene or New Hampshire, what happened today? They did something. They passed a landmark. What happened?
The Free State Project.
Woo!
Reached their goal of 20,000 people pledging to move to New Hampshire within 5 years.
Yep.
Nice.
Although there is an issue with that stat. They had let me look at the Free State site, because earlier today they were saying they said they were at 19,999, which is kind of funny. Like, you know, and they had that for hours and hours and hours, like maybe a day.
Well, I went out and recruited 10 homeless guys tonight.
And bought them a bus ticket, yeah.
Yeah, so they were the final 10, as far as I know. I gave them, I said, here's the pledge, you sign this, you're going to move to New Hampshire, and here's your one-way bus ticket to Keene. So I think that put it over the top.
Here's Ian Freeman's address.
Right. It's called the CAC. And and how do you feel about meter maids? Yeah, no. Yeah. You're going to fit right in. So So congratulations to. I think it's interesting. You know, no one's expecting 20,000 people to move. I think they're saying like we'd be thrilled if a third of those people actually do, which would be incredible. So
now here's the problem. Here's the problem. If at any point they like put somebody up on a pedestal and say this person was the 20,000th signer, there's a problem with that, because it's really two people after that. Because my wife and I pledged 5 years ago and we're never moving to New Hampshire. We're staying in Wyoming. At least as long as Cantwell lives in New Hampshire. No, I'm kidding. We dialed on the oxygen here. No.
Well, you know, there's also would be a question like of the early signers. Because I don't know if you remember when the project
they signed.
No, do you remember? Do you remember when they started the Free State Project? I think it was around 2003.
No, man, I was like voting for Hillary Clinton in 2003.
Well, at the beginning of the project, I remember when it first came around, and I was like really excited about it when they were like weren't sure what state it was going to be, and everyone was paying a lot of attention. But the deal was it was a limited amount of time. You say sign here to say you're going to move, and I think they had like it had to be 2006, and said after 2006 we got 3 years to make the goal. After that, your pledge is no longer binding. So the early signers, but you know, it doesn't matter. Of course, it doesn't matter. Yeah. And that was hardly anybody that signed up at those early years compared to just the flood of people that seems like the past year or two in particular just been the floodgates have opened up. So. Must be
One of the Fiend fan named Andrew just sent me a picture of he made some Bipcot stickers. They're really nice. I'm going to post a picture of this. Bipcot, no government license, which we're covered by. Yeah. So people have asked about, we'll get back to the Free State Project, but you know, this is one of our projects, is the Bipcot license. It allows reuse of any project, service, or software, or product, or service, or software by anyone except government or government agents. And people want to know about merch. I'm like, I don't make merch. I mean, we have buttons. If you buy a Fiend pack, you get one button in the tent, Fiend Bipcot button in the pack of 10 buttons. But there's flags, there's buttons, there's t-shirts, but you have to make them. And then you making them, it's covered by the Bipcot license too. And the license itself and the logo are covered by the Bipcot license. So go to the website, download bipcot.org, and download them, the high-res art, and make your own. So I'll tweet this right now. So go.
There's even 3D files that you can download that are Bipcot protected.
So to make your. Now I don't know if I have those linked on the Bipcot site. So I'm going to do that while you two go and talk more about New Hampshire. Oxygen.
Lisa, are you coming to Porkfest this year?
I am. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Liberty Forum's coming up in like I think 2 weeks, or it's pretty soon. So
hey, where's that?
It's in Manchester, I think. That could be really fun. I there's a good chance I'm going to go. My daughter has been really encouraging us to finally go this year. So
really,
to what?
To Liberty Forum coming up in a couple weeks. Yeah.
Do you are you going to be a vendor there? You have a table?
I don't think so. I told Dorothy that if she wants to do it, she has to you know, get the info and be in charge of that. So, but she's been,
because I would love to have the BIPCOT flag hanging up there. So if you guys do a vendor table and she wants, I will lend it to you. I'll send it to you. I think you should just wrap yourself in it. You just wrap it and wear it like a cape. Yeah.
I think it's good. Well, Ed Snowden is going to be like in on a Skype call or something. Like it's
yeah, and they won't shoot him. I mean, that's what the people should have done in Oregon instead of leaving to go to the meeting.
Yeah,
Skype, man, Google Hangouts, freedom. You
know, yeah. Come on, guys. You know, I know. And yeah. I just saw there's a video. I'll send you the link, Michael, for the show notes of that poor rancher guy. This was like a detailed video of the guy that they killed out there, and it was one I guess he had made on his ranch, and showing it like why, and he was explaining why he was not going to be paying their grazing fees anymore because like he was being denied access and he wasn't going to pay the grazing fees. And he's like, well, let's see what happens.
This goes back decades. You know, a lot of people don't know that. They think this is a new thing.
Generations.
This was, you know, that guy getting killed in Oregon was basically another shot, or maybe the first shot in, what is it, the Sagebrush Revolution? Is that what it's called? It goes back to the
Sagebrush meme wars.
Yeah. But things got real.
Too real.
Yeah. Yep. So, New Hampshire.
Well, they're, you know, I mean, I'm an anarchist, and my sort of view on politics says that you're not really going to have much of an impact within the system. You know, at least that's my, you know, sort of presumption. But yeah. I got to say, they're doing some cool legislative stuff, like trying to legalize all consensual sexual relationships and
whores.
sounds crazy, doesn't it? Right?
Yeah.
But they're doing a good job, you know, with what they have.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Still says they're at 99%. I'm thinking, uh-oh, like, I know they passed 20,000 people signed up today. I think I'm kind of surprised that out of those 20,000 people, they're all drunk on crack. Yeah. Out of 20,000 people, there's not somebody that can promptly update the website. Come on, people.
They're huffing porcupine gland extract.
PP. Yeah. So we want to talk about Blaze Starr and being a tyrant inside a mental institution. And I want to talk about this thing that I found out, which is kind of interesting. So we've been getting lots of web hits from Mandeville, Louisiana. I don't know what that is, but also we're getting a lot of hits from Ottawa. If you are in Ottawa, write me and let me know, because otherwise it's this guy I don't like and I'm going to block his IP. So, so person in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll give the person in Ottawa 3 days to say, yeah, that's me. So, we've been getting hits from Mandeville, Louisiana. I looked it up and fell down wormholes. There was a stripper and minor movie star in the 30s and 40s and 50s named Blaze Starr, who looks great. We're going to put a picture of her up. She died at age 83 last year. But in her prime, she was dating the married governor of Louisiana. His name is Earl Long. And his wife and his political enemies had him put in a mental institution because of it while he was governor. Here's the excellent part. While confined in a mental hospital in Mandeville, Long kept his political machine running via telephone. His staff discovered that nothing in Louisiana law required him to relinquish power just because he was confined to a mental hospital.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Seems and, legit.
Hey, did somebody just get sworn into office in jail prison? This time
I
around?
I think so.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, and aren't something like three out of the last five governors of Illinois in prison? I think they are.
I think it's actually all of them. I think actually it's every governor of Illinois is either had been in jail or is currently in jail or will be in jail.
When I was a minarchist six years ago, I made a one-man band CD of political punk rock anthems. It's called Right Arm of Wyoming is the name of the band. Which is not a right-wing thing. It's there's this weapon, this rifle called the FAL, which I used to have a FAL, and they're great, great. They're like the best rifle in the world. And the nickname for it is the right arm of the free world because it's the main battle rifle of every non-communist country in the world except America. So it's the right arm of the free world. So I called mine the right arm of Wyoming and named my one man band after it. But if you Google right arm of Wyoming, you'll get the, you download all the stuff free. I actually made CDs. It was 6 years ago, it was kind of past the prime of CDs, but I went ahead and printed 1,000 up and sold them and gave them away. So, but now it's a virtual CD. You can download it. And one of the lines in one of the songs was, and this is, I really like this as a minarchist suggestion. I propose 2-term limits. First term in office, the second in jail. And I think that's the motto.
Why
of
not
Illinois.
Serve consecutively, right?
Yes, I think, there you yeah, go. Yeah.
There you go.
Why
all
not?
Right, so Lisa really got off on the history of this stripper. And, you know, they are trying to legalize prostitution in New Hampshire, and we do tip our hat to that. Let me put on my Republican hat for a second. Whores!
Child prostitution will still be illegal under this. So,
yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Republicans.
And you know, who was it who won the Illinois Cuckus or the Iowa Cuckus? The Republican that won. What's his name?
Hillary. Hillary did. They flipped a coin and Hillary got it.
They flipped a coin.
No, who's the Republican that won? I don't even know his name.
Cruz.
Oh. And he said, you know, praise God for making this happen. And somebody said, that's Republican for Allah Akbar.
Oh, I saw that.
That's funny.
Tweet. That's great.
Yeah. All right. So tell us all about the from Mandeville, Louisiana. Lisa, please.
Okay. So Star, Blaze Star and Governor Long apparently had quite an affair going on. And he left her a good chunk of money in his will, but she passed it up out of respect for his family. But one of the things that he left her was his stuffed bobcat.
Nice.
A stuffed bobcat.
I like bobcats.
Yeah, I thought you might. So he told her that if anything ever happened to him, to make sure that she hung on to this bobcat. And she didn't know why. She didn't ask
any
questions.
That's where all the cocaine was.
close. She knocked it over several years later, and it cracked open.
It's full of stolen money.
An abundance of uncut emeralds and other precious stones. Ah, so she started a gem cutting business. Yeah, she started a jewelry company with it. And she told in an interview in 1989, she said, I've been selling them off a little at a time, and it's kept me going till this day.
Nice.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
paid in stolen emeralds in stuffed bobcats.
Yeah.
Stuffed bobcat, Louisiana. You know, I've moved. I used to live in Beast Lick, Wyoming. I'm now living in a suburb of Beast Lick since I've been on Pregnazone. I've moved to the suburb of Beast Lick called Ham Planet, Wyoming.
Ham Planet.
Yes. I saw my doctor today, and he actually thinks I'm doing a lot better. He said he's proud of me, and he said that I'm a really challenging patient, and the fact that I'm getting a little better is making him a better doctor. And this is like a specialist in pulmonology. It kind of blew my mind.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. 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 All right. Hoers. Tell us about hoers.
Okay, so Blaze Starr apparently also had a thing going with JFK, and this was happening around the time that he was, yeah, I know, it's kind of.
Did he leave her a stuffed animal full of gems?
I don't know. I wouldn't.
No, he didn't.
No, she got kind of ripped off there.
Yeah,
because she said in an interview that she never got to be intimate with him in the actual White House. She really, really wanted to do that in the Lincoln Room, but she didn't get that.
Can you imagine the stains in the Lincoln bedroom? Oh, my God. I would never want to be in that place. Ugh.
Yeah.
Have you seen the meme going around? Have you seen the meme going around of a bunch of school kids talking to Hillary Clinton, and someone put a word bubble over one of the kids saying, "Will it bother you if you become president to know what your husband did in the same chair you're sitting in?"
Oh,
I cleaned that up for radio, but
oh.
You know, that'd probably be the first thing she'd do would be get rid of the chair. Or have it steam cleaned. Even though it's probably a different chair by now.
Hey, for all you know, she worked. She was like on Hillary's staff. You know, like Hillary, like they don't care. Like
I believe that that's what she got in exchange. Oh, somebody turned down your headphones. We're echoing a little bit. I believe that she was promised by, you know, the six Jews who run the world And, you know, I'm Jewish, so that's okay, probably. So I think the fact that she did not divorce Bill over that, I think they said, look, don't divorce him. We'll make this worth your while in about 20 years. You know, you'll be a senator and then president.
You think that was the first time that that came up to you know, like Hillary, like, found out about something, right?
No.
Just when it happened to be the one that was the national attention. She'd been with him for years. Like, as far as I know, like, I mean, you just see all those pictures of him with all these, like, blonde girls, and he's got that look in his eye. You're like, you know, he's just dogging.
There's a comedian I really like. I can't remember his name, but he looks kind of like Steve Miller, and he's got a comedy special where he talks about when he was like 11 years old, his mother took him to meet Governor Clinton, who was running for president, and they'd gone to college together, and like he hadn't, you know, he'd met her like once. The mother had met Bill Clinton like once. He'd walked her home from the library or something at night, and which he did. Like, you know, they decided it wasn't safe for women to walk on the campus, so like upstanding men volunteered to sit at the library when it closes and walk late girls home. And Bill Clinton was, of course, one of the guys that volunteered for that. And he had,
I bet Joe Biden was there too.
He'd met this woman 20 years earlier, and he remembered her name and flirted with her again. Like, hey, Sally, of course I remember you. Yeah. And I actually used to date a girl in New York City who had a friend that had met Bill Clinton in first class on a commercial airliner right after he was no longer president. He was flirting with her and he invited her to like come to Aruba with him or something. And he was, she swears he was sitting in first class on a commercial jet with an unlit cigar in his hand, rolling it around in his fingers, and complaining that they wouldn't let him smoke on this plane like they did on Air Force One. Do you think they gave Hillary...
That's gross.
Go ahead.
He's going to be back. He's going to be back on Air Force One.
I know. I think they'll have an Air Force 3 for him. Yeah. They'll have a bubble that keeps him so Hillary doesn't hear him. and put him in a hamster ball. So do you think that when Hillary was promised, you know, all these things to not divorce him and not make a stink 20, 30, 40 years ago, do you think that they gave her this standard gift bag with the stuffed hamster full of cocaine and chocolates and diamonds and emeralds?
I think Bill was always just a stepping stone for her power anyway. What is he,
there you go.
Right. Well, yeah. She didn't care about it. She doesn't care about him. She just cares about the power that he can bring to her.
What did he do other than irk gun owners enough to create the militia movement? Okay, tell us more about who's.
Okay, well, Starr didn't get to have her little thing with JFK in the Lincoln Room because the Cuban Missile Crisis happened.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
C-blocked by Castro, man.
Which was very right. different than Bill Clinton's Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Yeah, and she said that JFK was very quick and very wild because apparently in this interview in 1989, all the reporters kind of stopped her when she was in the middle of talking about how she met him, and they wanted to know, you know, what he was like. So that's what she had to say about him. And then apparently she got involved with the police officer, a swaggering cop. And his job was to bust strip joints, but they ended up getting involved. Yeah, and she wasn't allowed to talk about that. They had an agreement.
Oh, man.
Frank Rizzo. Yeah.
Sounds like a mafia guy. What?
Frank Rizzo?
Frank Rizzo. He was a cop that she had a little deal going on with.
Wow.
Yeah, she had quite a life. She said that she would do it all over again and probably would just, you know, end up with more men if she...
I heard that JFK was pretty quick and wild and like with the underline on quick. Like, he didn't last very long, I heard.
She actually did say that. Yeah, she said that...
20 seconds.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing and he knew what to do with women and that he was, you know... Yeah, she said quick.
Wait, so she was satisfied with his 20-second performance, or he finished and said, I can't do his accent. I'm a very busy. What am I doing, man? I'm trying to sound like Frank Rizzo when I should be trying to sound like Mayor Quimby.
You need the.
I did not have sex with that prostitute. Okay.
She said it didn't take him long, and his bad back didn't get.
Yeah, he had health problems, man. You know who else had health problems? Hitler. Hitler was really sickly and hit it because he, you know, I mean, basically Hitler would have had to kill Hitler if Hitler weren't Hitler. He was not up to the Nazi ideal. He had all sorts of problems. He had a lot of gastrointestinal problems. He had depression, migraines. He was short and had brown eyes. He was not the, you know, Nordic Aryan blonde-haired, blue-eyed, six-foot-tall Dolph Lundgren ideal that he was promoting with the Nazi youth. But he had a private physician. I saw this great documentary the other day called High Hitler about all the drugs Hitler was on. Like, everybody's heard, like, yeah, he did a little speed or something. But no, he had a personal physician that was with him 24 hours a day that all the other Nazi officers hated because this guy had more access and Hitler, like, depended on him. And this doctor was giving him daily, like, was waking him up with speedballs. Like, Hitler would wake up and feel horrible, and then the doctor would visit him in his room, and people would say, like, and then Hitler would come out of his room, like, brimming with enthusiasm and confidence and ready to face the day. And then he'd get several more, quote-unquote, vitamin, unquote, injections throughout the day. And basically, they were waking him up with, like, speed and cocaine and a little bit of morphine to take the edge off.
I'm picturing Tony the Tiger, you know? Yes. Like.
with a Hitler mustache. Yeah.
Right. You're great, you know.
So he was
breakfast. Here you go.
He was being shot up with these, like, this concoction of, like, meth, coke, a little bit of morphine to take the edge off, just a little, you know, little light dusting, and then, like, a bunch of vitamins. And he was being shot up with that, like, six or eight times a day, and then being given, like, barbiturates so he could fall asleep at night. And
this
then
is how this is how you preside over genocide. Is that
yes?
Okay.
Yeah, Hitler's vitamin cocktail is a hell of a drug.
Oh, man!
Wow.
All right. So back to the any more on the who's.
Well, there's not much more on her. She just, you know, said that if she'd had
poor
the chance,
taste in men. I have to say, I'm not really impressed with her selections.
I'm really not either. Yeah,
Hitler made selections. All right. So let's leaving 1942 Berlin, let's move on to and 1943 Louisiana, Mendeville. Let's move on to back to Keene, New Hampshire. What's going on? So there's this article in Mother Jones magazine called "Why Libertarians Are Still Plotting to Take Over New Hampshire," and it came out yesterday, and it's about reaching the 20,000. And we don't really care about the article. We care about the picture in it and then the comments. So there's no picture in the article, but people refer to a picture. And what I found out was, if you share the link on Facebook, the preview that comes up is this angry looking dude with a shaved head and "Liberty or Death" tattooed around his shirt, and like a little, it looks like Billy's first mustache, you know, it looks like he's kind of trying to grow a mustache. And one of the comments is, this picture looks like, this guy looks like an extra from American History X. So they're basically saying that libertarians are Nazis because a young man has short hair. And yeah, here's the thing.
But remember, I want to point out identity politics to these guys. It's all identity politics. Well, if you want to discredit the Free State Project and all of that stuff, all you need to do is associate one of their guys with one of these designated categories that everybody agrees is terrible, and that's all they ever do. That's
I have some news you can use meme war information for for counter sniping in the meme war in identical politics, testicle politics, fortitude politics. So when you share a link on Facebook, a lot of times, like, you know, the image will come up, and then you can scroll through the images on the page and pick what image it is, and you can actually bypass that and upload an image that shares as the preview for that exact link. Now, the thing about Facebook, it's kind of neat, is the first person to ever share a link on Facebook gets to determine what picture is associated with it. Now, it can be changed later, but you have to be like the admin of a related site, and it's difficult, and you have to know some programming to do it. So you could theoretically, like, you know, if you had access to the URL that's going to be shared from a mainstream news outlet article denigrating libertarianism or anything, you could find a really funny, ridiculous meme to be what is shared when someone shares this link. But you have to be the first person to do it, the first person ever.
Show me how it works. Do it.
Yeah.
Let's demonstrate.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Dozens of people are turning their radios off. Yeah. So we're reading this article in Mother Jones magazine, some hippie liberal magazine that my sister subscribes to. And there's an article about why libertarians want to take over New Hampshire. So we're going to read some of these comments about comments. Just go ahead and read some comments, guys. What do these people think of us?
Here's one that says, yeah, we know how well attended libertarian events are with women and minorities and anybody under age 60.
These people don't know that. I mean, you know, there's not a ton of them, but there were some minorities. There's a twofer. There's a black woman in Liberty, and she was at Porkfest. So,
well, but
there you go.
You know what? I mean, how about this? People. I mean, yeah, women, especially, there's plenty of women. Obviously, there are 60. Minorities. But anybody under 60, really?
Did
they miss, like, the Ron Paul revolution and they notice how, like, young everybody was? Maybe they missed that. I don't know.
Yeah. There's people over 60. Well, a lot of the people over 60 in Liberty in are in jail because they're some of the hardest working activists because they're like, I'm 60. I got nothing to lose. I'm 85. I'm going to stand and hand out jury nullification stuff with Jim Babb and go to prison in Israel. Wait, what happened? I'm getting that all mixed up.
Oh, Julian Hoechlin. Julian Hoechlin. Yeah, he got arrested quite a few times. I think in the vicinity of 80, in his 80s. And at that point, he's like, bring it. I got nothing. I got nothing to lose. Yeah. Let's go. And I think that's when he became the most damaging and most threatening to them when he was like, let's go. He went to Rikers Island for like a week and a half just because he wouldn't tell him his name. He's like, bring it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about that. We got these stupid people on Mother Jones. I mean, I just find it so hypocritical of these, you know, progressive lefties. Well, they want to criticize libertarians, okay? But meanwhile, who's actually done all the work on things like the drug war, on privacy? Who's opposed stop and frisk? The drone wars? It's not the liberals that are fighting all this stuff. It's always been the libertarians that are there. You know, as the liberals real champions of the causes that liberals claim to work for. So,
you know, liberals were never into freedom. I mean the politicians never were. Like back in the 60s, like all the liberals were like, we're gonna change the world, we're anti-war, we're pro-drugs, and like, you know, but their politicians were like LBJ, how into freedom was that guy? That guy was a racist, you know, pro-war,
horrible
idiot.
And then the eugenics Well, I mean, there is, running throughout is always like they always think that they know how other people should live their lives. And that's kind of the foundation, right? It's like we consider ourselves superior and can decide for others, how they should live, which is kind of the most disgusting, like, feature that a human can have, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a person here in the comments who's trying to, you know, educate the other commenters.
Edge. Yeah. Edgelord. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. About what libertarians actually are. And they did say, you know, far from being bigoted, libertarians want to end the racist war on drugs, have more open immigration, support gay rights, and generally want the government to leave people alone. And then, of course, someone says, well, it started like that, but now it's something else, and it's not pretty. Okay.
What does
that mean?
Yeah, I know.
Well, they just come from a Chris Cantwell
fascist rally.
Yep. Donald Trump. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Of course, they're bringing up the Tea Party as if that has anything to do with it.
And the Koch brothers. Koch brothers,
Koch.
You know, and I'm looking at this article, it's pretty lame even for Mother Jones. Like, there's hardly anything. There's, like, weird, obscure just things that make people look odd. But you know what? It's here. Press is press, you know? It's like the story's out there regardless of how they spin it.
We're going to the free market. We're going to come back after some horrifying top-of-the-hour news with what we're doing as libertarians for homeless outreach. You know, if you think we're all selfish people that just read Ayn Rand and want to count our billions and run our steel mills, no, we also help the homeless people. And we have a plan.
Feed the homeless. We're going to feed
them. We're going to feed them. Hashtag Radio Free Epoxy.
Hobo safe.
Someone just posted a picture of MK Lords with a radio shock collar with a Fiendphone logo on it.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Broadcasting from inside MK Lord's shock collar, connected to Fiend Phone 1.0, coming soon. And there's a picture on my Twitter of what that will look like. You know how companies always do mock-ups to like sell it to the stockholders and the engineers. And I needed to have this picture because I deal with the GD customers. The programmers aren't good with the public. I deal with the GD customers. All right. What?
I don't get it.
It's an Office-based joke, and the only person that needs to get it is the programmer, Derek Slopey, and he'll get it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But that's, you know, that picture with the shock collar, maybe that is could be adapted for our Fiend the Homeless program, where instead of using epoxy to attach the radios.
That's what I thought this was at first. When like I first collar, looked at this.
A collar might be more humane.
Yeah.
It's because it's kind of like a tag and release, like,
yeah. You know,
when they glue GPS trackers to wildlife as part of like when you're studying wildlife and there's special glue they use that just eventually like falls off when the animal molts or something.
Yeah, so. Like that stuffed bobcat full of cocaine and cigars that they gave Hillary when she didn't divorce Billy Bob. Yeah. So we were trying to figure out how to segue from politics into the homeless. So we're going to go with Bernie, because if he becomes president, we'll all be homeless and we'll all be equal because we'll all be homeless. So
right.
We need to reach out to the homeless that are already there with liberty so they can teach the incoming newly minted homeless from Bernie being president and teach them about libertarianism. So. What happened with Bernie? What happened?
I don't know what happened, but evidently something took place in Iowa where they're like pretending to try to find out like who's going to be their candidate, and evidently, you know, this is the way the Democratic Party works in Iowa. There were coin tosses involved. Like, I don't know, flip a coin, and they said, well, Hillary won only because she got 6 coin tosses in a row in her favor. I think the story's all kind of.
So Bernie lost an eye, did you say?
Bernie lost in Iowa.
Oh, I think you said he lost an eye.
Right. He lost in Iowa. But, you know, the funny thing, adorable thing, is that the Bernie people thinking, like, they had a chance anyway, right? Like, they think, like, yeah, we're going to get the vote out.
Well, he's the Ron Paul of the liberals. So, you know, it's funny that the Ron Paul people thought. There's a lot in common with him. With Ron Paul, even though there's nothing in common with him policy-wise with Ron Paul. But
he's getting a similar treatment.
They're both avuncular, old, grandfatherly figures that the kids just love and worship and would die.
Let
and
me like, ask you this.
People who were never in politics love them.
Do you remember in 2012, I think it was the same Iowa caucus thing, Ron Paul actually won, except they had, once they found out he won, they're like, well, we're not, I think they said somebody else won, and it took them weeks and weeks to challenge it. By that time, all the momentum is gone from that first one that's like, we're winning. You're like, he could have been out in front at that moment, but they are like, nah, we don't, no, not you, dude. No.
Yeah, and I remember that in Florida, some of the Florida mans, the Republicans down there, like basically changed the rules of the GOP so no Ron Paul would ever have a chance again.
Oh, yeah. Everything was so scripted. And they're like, you know, it is the opinion of the chair that the ayes have it. And you can hear the room, and everyone's like, no, like, hell no, we're going to kill you, no. And it's like, the ayes have it, you know. It came up on the teleprompter, like, before the vote was even done. You know, that, like, the ayes have it. Sorry, guys. Like, you know, and people act like they still have some kind of say in the process. It's hysterical. It's It's pathetic for people that are still like, yeah, let's go to the next one, and we can be the ones that they completely ignore.
I'm kind of surprised that it's not Bush, that it's not, what's his name, Bush? What's the new one?
Oh, Jeb.
Jeb. Florida man. Yeah.
Jeb.
Yeah, because I really thought there was going to be a, you know, trifecta hat trick. What do you call it when the king's son becomes dynasty? Yeah. Well, because that comedian, that's the guy from Africa that's now on Noah something, that's on the Daily Show at night. He's really funny. And he said that he got a spam email from the Jeb Bush campaign. And he said it sounded like a Nigerian money scam. Like, I need money. My father was a president. My brother was a president. I was supposed to be a president. Yeah.
I need help getting my money out of the country.
Yeah.
But first, I need some collateral from you.
Yeah.
Access to your bank account.
Access to your stuffed bobcats. All right. Man, I'm looking at this picture of MK Lords. You know, MK Lords and James Babb are the only Freedom Fiend members that I've never said of them on the air, I'd hit it. And it's like MK is very attractive. She just looks prettier and prettier and prettier. But she would just like leave screaming if I said, she wouldn't think it's cool. She'd be like, no, you're old and sick, go away. And James Babb, I just wouldn't hit. He's just not my, he's a Republican.
I want to know which of us should be more offended by that. Okay. I'm crushed.
Yeah. Okay. So moving right along, Feeding the Homeless. What is this and what happened and what did I get in the mail today?
You've got radios.
I've got so many radios, man.
How many do you have?
Well,
these like little transistor radios, right?
Those things that look like iPods, like iPod Nanos, that were actually $3. So I've got more of those on order that are FM radios and MP3 players. These ones are only MP3 players. I got a deal on them, so I went ahead and ordered them. And the thing is, like, they require, you have to buy and put in a micro SD card for them to work. So I'm still looking for like micro SD cards for a dollar or two that have, you know, enough to store like, you know, a couple Fiends episodes or five or something. But the minimum I could find is like 4 gigabyte ones that are like $4 plus $5 shipping. That's too much for each one. So especially since these don't have batteries that you can put in, they have, they charge with USB, and homeless people probably don't have USB. So
these days they do, actually. It's a very progressive city in Philly. They have USB ports for homeless people.
Yeah. Let me go back a step here and explain what we're talking about for those who don't know.
This is Feed the Homeless.
It's a show called The Freedom Fiends. If you're in St. George, Utah, or you're in Jackson, Mississippi, and you've been channel flipping looking for the Coast to Coast show or the Best of Rush Limbaugh, and you're listening to us by accident, and you're like, I don't get it. So we are the show called The Freedom Fiends.
Take this moment to apologize.
We're anarcho-capitalist libertarians. Basically what that means is, you know, we're into small government like you are, but you're not really into small government. You want a big military, and you want, or, you know, people that listen to those shows. We want a government so small that, as Dobby Barker said, we want a government that's so small it's theorized about by particle physicists. We don't want just one we can drown like a baby in the bathtub. We want one that, like, you can't even see, if at all. So, and you might say, well, that's anarchy. And we're like, yeah, so how's your government working out for you? What have they done for you lately? You can't fix it by getting the right people in there. You've had over 200 years of that, and it's led to, you know, I mean, the culmination of that is Bernie Sanders versus, you know, a Democrat who's running, billionaire who's running as a Republican, who was at Hillary Clinton's wedding and donated to her campaign. So that's the choice you got. It doesn't work. You can't fix it. So we're the Freedom Fiends. Hi, I'm Michael Dean. Hey, James Babb. Why don't you say hi?
Hey.
Hey. And we got Lisa DeLascio. How you doing, Lisa?
Hi. Good.
Yeah. We have different hosts every night. We have 19 hosts rotating on a spit for your pleasure. So dig in, grab a bite, pull up a chair, eat some charboiled fiend's host, and we're going to tell you, but not in Idaho, because we're going to talk about this later. Cannibalism is illegal in one state, and it's Idaho, so specifically outlawed. So don't do that if you're in Idaho.
It's the only
so,
state where they needed to outlaw it.
Yeah.
What about the Donner Party in California? Today, they would, if you had to eat your dead cousins to survive, they would arrest you for it later. Anywhere, they would. That's what government has led to. So, there is, for some reason...
Yeah, but if it's a second cousin or farther removed, it's okay.
There is a radio station in Philadelphia. I don't know anything about it, but we know people that listen to it. And for some reason, this station plays the Freedom Fiends about 12 hours a day. It's called
WHIV.
And this is a real thing. There's a station there that broadcasts like a 2 mile radius. I think it's coming out of the college there at Temple or something. Let's just go with that. And in Kensington neighborhood of Philadelphia, you can hear Freedom Fiends.
Actually, that's the elite part of Philly where all the big shots live.
Where the best homeless are. Is it really?
No.
Are you kidding? No, it's the slums, man.
Yeah, it's,
yeah, we have a friend that lives there.
Well, it's not, you know, slums isn't quite fair. It's a front, I think of it as like an emerging town.
Yeah,
it's a frontier town. It
gentrification.
Borders,
yeah.
It's becoming gentrified, but it's right next to like just huge sections of like post-industrial abandoned.
Yeah, well, properties in 5 years, that house,
Section 8 housing and stuff.
That house that Steve Miller won in a card game, you know, where he has to like sweep the needles off his porch every morning before going to work. You know, in 5 years, he's going to be able to sell that for enough to like buy a bobcat refuge in Jackson, Wyoming, right next to Cheney's Ranch, you know.
It's possible.
So, but part of this is we want to bring the word of our show, the Freedom Fiends. We are evangelical about this. This isn't a job. Like, we lose money doing this, and we actually take money out of our pocket to do these projects. And please donate. Go to the freedomfiends.com site and donate to help with Feeding the Homeless. So basically what we want to do is we raised some money and put some in from my pocket. I put in about $100, and then we raised about 200 more. And we're buying just a crap load of different kinds of portable FM receivers. And we're going to distribute them free to homeless people in Philadelphia, in the neighborhood, in the area where you can hear the station that plays the Freedom Fiends 12 hours a day. But with a few modifications, we are going to epoxy the radios on that one station, you know, so
it's a non-toxic hobo safe epoxy.
Yes. Hobo safian epoxy. Yep. So these radios started arriving today, and there's a few different kinds. There's a bunch of micro ones that actually may not be the best. Like what I'm thinking, instead of the $3 micro radios, we'll give those out, but instead of the $3 micro radios that have to use earbuds, I'm thinking we're out. Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk more about our plans. Feeding the Homeless.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Is that okay?
Yeah, but didn't talk about feeding the homeless. I gotta eat a taco.
Okay.
Ham Planet, Wyoming.
The Freedom Fiends, where we talk about things like emerald stuffed bobcats, strippers, and cannibalism.
On.
But we also help the homeless. Tell us about it, James.
Well, this is going to be something that the pilot project is something that Steve Miller and I are going to try to implement in Kensington area of Philadelphia, where they have a very serious need for freedom. And we happen to have a station, WHIV, that broadcasts there. So we figure this is a good opportunity to help more people enjoy the Freedom Fiends. It's going to dramatically expand our market. So I'm anticipating a lot of new advertisers once this program is rolled out.
Tribes. I think we should get Night Train. Mad Dog 2020 is a sponsor. Night Train depends.
Well, what I want to do is I want to put together a nice little package for our Fiend the Homeless program. So they're not going to just get a transmitter to listen to Freedom Fiends, but we might include like a 16-ounce PBR. Because it's Kensington.
Clean needles,
and,
bleach, condoms.
Stuff they can use. I don't know, maybe like a toothbrush. I don't know, you know, but we'll work on that, and we'll try to make sure that it's great stuff they can really use. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how it takes off and seeing what the feedback is and seeing what happens to this community, you know, after years of having every homeless person armed with a radio that plays Freedom Fiends 24/7.
I think your kit should include a Cody Wilson 3D printed gun and 5 bullets.
5 bullets?
Well, I was thinking just one, but if you give one, it's going to be implying they should kill themselves, which we don't want them to do.
No.
We just want them to defend themselves. But it's based on
the
idea, he calls that the Liberator,
yeah,
which is based on something the U.S. government made in World War II to dump all over, to airdrop to the non-Nazis in Europe. And it was like a little cheap stamped, you know, they cost like 50 cents each for the government to make. They never dropped, like the war was over, so they never dropped any of these, but I've seen one in a museum. And it's a little, tiny little kind of zip gun with a trigger that, and it was a 45, which would have broken your hand firing that from a tiny gun. But it came with like 5 or 10 rounds of 45 ammo and a dowel to remove the expended shell because it wouldn't come out by itself. And a little pictographic sheet that also had instructions on how to use it in like German, Yiddish, Polish, and Czech.
Sneak up behind a Nazi and shoot him in the head and take his gun.
Yeah. It said, you know, and even it said, like, have your friend go up and ask him for a light for his cigarette while you sneak up behind him and shoot him in the base of his brain under his helmet. And then you take, and because this thing had no accuracy, like it could only shoot accurately at like 6 inches. So you had to do that to get a kill shot. And then you were supposed to, like, you know, take his rifle, his uniform, and the chocolate in his pocket, and then you pretend to be a Nazi and walk up to other Nazis and shoot them all in the face with the good rifle, and then pretty soon you've got your own little ghetto militia there, and you can, you know, that should have worked. Like, if they dropped those at the beginning of the war, that might have worked. You know, Solzhenitsyn said in the Gulag Archipelago that if only when the Nazis had come to take away the Jews from their house, if only people had like hit him over the head with a chair, it might have ended different. You know, if people hadn't just said, okay, we'll go to these camps for a while and it'll work out okay. You know, if they'd only known what was coming and only had like a bit of resistance in them, you know, that's one thing I think is valuable about gun ownership. Is even if you're not doing it, it trains you a mindset of it's okay to defend yourself, which I think has been bred out of people. Like, for instance, one of the radios we got, it's a hand crank radio, which was like $10, but it doesn't need batteries. You crank it, which I think maybe, and it has speakers, so several people could listen. I'm thinking that might be the way to go in the future with these. You know, like one guy could have it and crank it and then play it for a bunch of other people. And
yeah,
this thing also has a siren on it. I'm not going to wake my wife up, but I played a few earlier, right? You guys?
No, remember? I don't like that sound. I don't.
Yeah,
I was triggered. I was definitely triggered when I heard
that. Could get you killed as a homeless person, but it could also save your life. I mean, it could get you killed because people, it would ruin their crack high because they think the cops were coming. They'd beat you up, but it could also save your life. I mean, there are things called personal alarms that people carry like in their purse, in places where you can't have guns.
And I can't get up.
No, these are like sirens, like little cigarette pack size sirens that ladies
like a car alarm for yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
And really, it doesn't work that way though. Really, it's just like it tags that person as the victim for the one killer. Like, hey, hands off, she's mine. You go find your own. This one's been activated.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
I'm eating cheese mice. I decided not to have another taco. Eating cheese mice. That's what my wife and I call Cheetos. Cheetos kind of look like mice. Cheese mice. With the Freedom Fiends. So, we're fiending the homeless. So, you're going to take a trip up to the Cleve, aren't you there, James?
Cleveland, yeah. It's a road trip. I'm hoping that Steve Miller goes with me. I'm going for Parmageddon.
Okay. You're going to Cleve the homeless?
Speaking of cheese.
Oh, wait.
Parmageddon.
Is this a segue?
It's not actually Parmesan. It's actually Parma, Ohio, which is near Cleveland. And
This might not be a segue. I feel a segue, but I feel like we're not done with the Cleve the homeless.
Is this Cleve the homeless? No.
Cleve the homeless. That's a new horror movie. It's the Ring Part 9. It takes place in Kensington. Cleve the homeless. The Ring. Cleve the homeless.
This is pretty serious, though. There's a guy on trial for holding up a sign spoiling one of those suspicionless checkpoints.
I know.
You know?
I know.
So
Parmageddon. But hang on, we're not done.
We're not. What are we?
We're not. What? We're not segueing yet. We'll get to Parmageddon. It would have.
You
been
said we're
segue.
Going right to Cleveland. What are we doing?
No, I didn't say we're bringing the story to Cleveland. I said you're going to Cleveland. I was going to segue back into Cleve the homeless, feeding the homeless. So, speaking of the Cleve, there's a show within a show called Cleaver. It's a horror film, a bad horror film in The Sopranos that's produced by Chrissy. You know, Chris. Tony Soprano's nephew that they have to kill finally because he's a drug addict and he's talking to the FBI. The actor who plays him is in an amazing new show. Now, here on The Fiends, we are fans of getting rid of monopolies and duopolies and triopolies like, you know, the TV networks. I'm really into Netflix, that they're producing cool stuff. Turns out Amazon is producing content too, and it's great. So I'm on Amazon Prime, and Diana, our host yesterday, told me to check out this show called Mad Dogs, and I highly recommend it. And one of the actors in it is the guy who played Chris on The Sopranos. And one of the other actors is the guy who played the DJ on Treme, who I love because he looks like me and thinks like me in that show. And then another one is, I forget the guy's name, but the good-looking guy that's in Titanic. He's the jerk. He's the one that steals some lady's baby and says, "Father with child coming through to get on one of the lifeboats."
Oh, is it Billy Zane?
Billy Zane. Yeah. And there's a murderous cat. There's like a furry, a guy with a cat head that kills people. A furry. So it's kind of like Entourage for adults. It's a really good show. Mad Dogs, check it out. I'm almost all the way through season one in one night. So we're going back to the Cleve and then back to Kensington. Then we'll go back to the Cleve later. But so what we need to do first is make a funding video. We need to, I'm going to ship some of these radios to you. Now, should I send them to you or Steve? I'm always afraid of sending things to Steve because I think they'll get stolen off his porch before he gets home at work. Should I send them to you, James?
Either way, it doesn't matter to me.
You're not in the ghetto and you work at home?
Yeah, things get left outside on my porch and they stay there.
Yeah. So. Although, this is going to take some prep. I'm going to be sending you guys some epoxy and some different radios and some batteries.
Well, I want Steve Miller to do all the work, so send it to him.
Okay. Really? Seriously?
No, I don't know. Whatever.
He has a 9-to-5 job. You just sit around and the money just rolls in. You just sit at home and, you know, make money while you sleep, right?
Yeah, I just type on my computer and stuff and people mail me checks.
I'm going to send it to you. It's not that much work. If you can epoxy some... Oh, you know what, though? It won't work because the epoxying will have to be done in Kensington.
Yeah,
because you'll have to be in the...
Has to be tuned.
Yeah, because even if you know the frequency, like cheap radios don't display the right frequency. They're not digital. It's like... Okay, so... yeah, I'll send them to Steve. So, but then I was wondering, like, should we actually really try to do a major fundraiser for this, or should we just keep it within the Fiend family?
Well, let's get the pilot program launched, because we still have a lot of, like, sort of research to do. I want to find out,
which radios are better, which neighborhoods.
Right, which epoxies are going to cause a rash, which ones won't.
James, for the last time, we're not epoxying these to the homeless. We are epoxying the radio dial to one channel.
Oh, well, how... Okay, they're going to be attached to those shock collars, like...
Yeah, there you go. No, they will be free to throw them away or sell them as needed, but part of the reason...
Oh, okay, yeah, that's, part of the reason, I think that's better, yeah.
Part of the reason we're restricting them to one station is to make them less sellable, so they'll just hold on to them, you know? Because otherwise, we should just send money to homeless people, but if we're going to go to all this trouble, we want them to utilize or
I want to put, like, a sticker on it that has, like, the Freedom Fiends website or something. So,
I was thinking a button. I was thinking they all get a button.
Well, what I'd like to do is, like, I figure we'll give it to the first, like, a junkie, and they'll trade it for, like, a hit of smack, okay? And then I want that person to let us know. I want to follow, like, how many, like, where do these radios end up? You know, I want to be like, if you receive this radio, or if you found it on a dead guy, you know, go to this website and claim your reward, you know?
Yeah, I like it. Well, it could also build an economy. Have you ever heard about the guy who turned a paperclip into a house?
By trading it?
Yes. It's not Chris Cantwell wanting to murder people for stealing a paperclip. There's actually a guy who took a paperclip, and this was like on the internet like 10 years ago or more. Like he, you know, took a paperclip, said, "I'm trying to like trade and build things into something else. Who will give me, you know?" And he had a paperclip, and then someone traded him, you know, I think it was like a pocket knife, pen knife or something. And then like he traded that he traded it up to where he owned a house. I'm wondering if we could do that with these radios and the homeless people would no longer be homeless.
It would take at least 3 trades before they could buy a house in Kensington.
Yeah, it takes at least a 12-pack of PBR to buy a house in Kensington.
Yeah. So, it's a great idea, though.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm wondering, though, like if we actually did like, you know, a Kickstarter campaign for this or something and it went viral, I think we would end up with like the world hating us and like trying to burn down our houses.
No, because it's going
to
be compassionate. We make jokes and stuff, but you know, we have good hearts. And
Homeless. I have actually been homeless, and I don't know if any other fiends have, but I was homeless for about 6 months when I first moved out of my parents' house in Washington, D.C. And I'll tell you, nothing motivates you to get unhomeless and get a job like being homeless in D.C. and winter coming. I became unhomeless pretty quick, but, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So That's the update on feeding the homeless.
Let's get the pilot happening. Program launched. Make a All video. Right. Get yep. some feedback from the community.
Feedback
and measure the results and then go from there and see if we have something that can be replicated.
All right. Now moving along to the Cleve and Parmageddon.
Yeah, go for Parmageddon. Lisa, you read this story, didn't
I'll
you?
I have some cheese mice.
Yeah, a little bit, and I remember hearing about this when it happened, too. Did you say you were going to go and get involved in this?
Well, no, there's a guy, cheese mice.
There's a guy on trial. This is a different. It's not Parmesan. It's Parma, Ohio.
Oh, okay. These are Parmesan cheese mice.
Anyway, this guy's on trial for having a sign that said "Checkpoint ahead, turn now." He's got disorderly conduct. Man. And I think there was something about obstructing,
conspiring to keep cops from
revenue generating,
discharging their weapons and duties. Yeah.
So anyway, obviously ridiculous. And, I don't know the person involved in this, but you know, I like to spoil those checkpoints. Like, it's the perfect, like, asymmetrical activism where they can spend thousands and tens of thousands of dollars on a checkpoint, and you can spoil it with, like, $12 of materials.
So, yeah, right.
It's So I really support what these guys are doing, this kind of activism. It's like really helping people. It really saves people from going to jail, and it's not that many opportunities to do that. So, you know, I figure this guy, you know, he deserves a little support. And Great Lakes Brewing is out there too, so I figure,
there you go.
I knew the day I went to Cleveland it wasn't going to be for something fun, but
Cleve the homeless.
No. Anyway, so yeah, I'm going to go. I'm trying to get Steve Miller to go with me because he's from Cleveland. So, you know, he'll know where all the cool places are.
He speaks jive.
Yeah, he speaks Cleve. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, those are good cheese mice. So more on this.
What's that?
More on this.
Moron. Do you have a hashtag for your various snacks?
Yeah, moron. Hashtag moron snacks. More on snacks.
Well, I think everybody in our movement is now
cheese mice.
Yeah, everyone in our movement now is a little afraid to be caught without snacks after we've seen what can happen.
I know, so, they kill you. Government will kill you if you don't have snacks.
So, right, last thing you want to do is be caught, like, you know, having to leave your compound to get nourishment. So,
yeah, well, it was a hermit compound in that. Kind of like a hermit crab takes over the shell of another creature, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And then you run into a murder of cops. That's what we call a group of cops now, because they murder you and get away with it.
Yeah, that's really clever.
Are you glorifying a murder of cops?
No, I'm denigrating them.
Okay.
I would not share my cheese mice willingly with a murder of cops.
Okay.
Anybody else? Bipcot cheese mice. Hashtag.
So I might be. So next week I might be doing the show from Cleveland. So
nice.
So we'll see. I might be right in the middle of this. I'm not sure. They have it, but I'm not sure if it's on computers yet.
They have the internet on computers in Cleveland.
I know there's a Homer Simpson joke in there somewhere.
You know, there's people in sub-Saharan Africa who have. Phones, you know, mobile, like smartphones. For one thing, nobody has a landline there. Like, it was so regulated that they could never do it. And cell phones aren't that regulated. So they never had, in some regions there, they never had landlines, but now they have cell phones. And they're still pretty rare. So what people will do is they will become a human telephone booth. They'll stand on the street corner and hold up their phone, and you come up and pay them to make a call. That's pretty cool. But, but a lot of people there are on Facebook, but don't know they're on the internet. They don't know that's the internet. That's pretty common.
Really?
Isn't that weird? Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
They just think it's like this weird thing that lives in that phone they borrow.
Yeah. Okay. They have. Yeah. Maybe we could do that with the homeless. Maybe we could have, like, people don't know they have a radio, but they know they're listening to Freedom Fiends.
Or give them a, like some kind of web browser that only goes to freedomfiends.com.
Hey, you've been a host for like a year and you only found out we had a website 3 weeks ago.
Website?
Oh.
Freedomfiends.com. Internet, is that thing still around?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
I did it. So if I matchmake two fiends, does that make me their agent? Does that entitle me to 10% of the Mickey? I said that during the break, and James said he blocked me. We had this conversation about age of consent. we were talking about how creepy. How you know you can say this stuff on the radio in the middle of the night, but then someone reminded me we have a 17-year-old host, Nick, who's on sometimes, and when he's on, I hold back on this kind of stuff. And then someone's like, "Well, I wonder, you know, maybe when he turns 18, I'll buy him a." And then someone said, like, I wonder what the age of consent is in Oregon, you know, for him, not for creepy old us.
For his yaks, at least.
Yeah, for his yaks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was about to Google it, and I'm like, you know, I don't want that in my Google history. What's the age of consent in Oregon? Because my wife would understand and believe me that I was searching on Nick's behalf, but the government wouldn't. So,
no, don't worry. It's all going to be presented to the jury in a very impartial way. It
comes down to a permanent record.
It's going to be, everything's going to be like seem normal and perfectly harmless. And
yeah.
Yeah.
We used to be told that, you know, when we go to heaven, they'd show us our whole life and where we went wrong before they throw us into heck or whatever. But now, really, it's more like when you go into Gitmo, they're going to show you your whole Google history and decide how long to keep you there. So, things being illegal. Tell us, Lisa. What are you reading?
Yeah. So, there's a new article
Hashtag
out.
Cheese mice.
That a university posted. And it's got the craziest laws from each of the 50 states. So I picked out a couple of my favorites today. Probably my favorite is one from Idaho. Idaho is actually the only state that outlaws directly cannibalism.
Ooh.
And it's in a chapter of their code titled Mayhem.
Mayhem.
They're like, mayhem. Yeah, you know what? What section are we going to put this under? Oh, put it in with mayhem. Yeah.
Do you remember that? Do you remember
file
that
under
CSI
with all the
show?
Other mayhem things.
Do you remember that CSI show Quincy from the 70s?
You know, it sounds
sure.
Familiar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They had an episode called Murder, Mayhem, and Punk Rock. And it was about this band, this punk band that was based on the band Fear called Mayhem. And their singer, like, was murdering people in the slam pit. Yeah.
Whoa.
Mayhem.
Was he eating them, though? Or just...
Oh, no.
Did Quincy solve it?
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't he, like, Oscar on the Odd Couple? Wasn't it that guy? I think it was.
Yeah.
So that was the first CSI show.
Oh, what is that guy's name?
It was the first CSI show. Yeah. He's also in Days of Wine and Roses. He plays the AA sponsor with the heart of gold that helps the insane Ray Milland get sober. Mm. All right, moving along. What else is
illegal? You know, I just pulled up the legislature.idaho.gov. And the cannibalism is the only thing in the mayhem category.
Nice.
I was like really disappointed. I was like, what else is going to be under mayhem? That's, you know.
I know. I looked that up too. I was really bummed because this is chapter 50 mayhem. And I'm like,
Finally, we're going to get to the good stuff. Nope.
Well, Freedom Fiends commit 3 felonies per show without even knowing it. So,
but it probably not this not particular
mayhem
one.
Cannibalism.
Yeah, not we're not to commit.
You know what's interesting? If you want to search something, if people want homework for weird laws, search the concealed carry laws in Wyoming. It is specifically legal to conceal carry a knife or gun without a permit here, but it is illegal to conceal a destructive animal, device, or vehicle.
Right. So
you can't have that pocket hovercraft that shoots scorpions, I guess.
Or like a camouflaged rhinoceros in your backyard or
in your in your Uber car. In your invisible Uber car.
Wait, that animal's way too dangerous. You can't conceal that, you know.
I know. Yeah. And this is a state that's full of dangerous animals, but most of them are bigger than you and be hard to conceal.
What other stupid laws do you have there, Lisa?
Tell us. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In Missouri, speaking of wild animals, it's illegal to drive with an uncaged bear. So I don't know if that means it's okay to drive with a caged bear.
That's common sense bear regulation.
I always wonder if some of these are religious laws, like, you know, you can't buy horses on Sunday in Kansas. And then some of them are like, probably there was a guy who was driving around with a bear and it was menacing people, so they passed a law thinking it would help. But some of them, they were probably like a guy who no one liked who had a pet bear and they just wanted to throw him in jail, so they passed a law. That's what
I
think.
Yeah.
Right. It's usually a wealth transfer or just somebody being vindictive to a rival.
Give us one more really quick, Lisa.
Maryland, my state, it's illegal for me to take a lion to the movies with me. I can't do it.
That's terrible. Hey, in Pennsylvania, you're not allowed to grow certain plants in your backyard.
What? Is that everywhere? Almost.
Jerks.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Some places you can't even run a website where people engage in free market commerce.
Silk Road.
There are some wacky laws out there.
Yes, indeed.
You can't conceal carry a gun in California.